You may remain standing, please. Take your Bibles tonight and go with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. Hebrews, chapter number 2. I trust you had a good afternoon. And it was nice, a nice rain. I don't know, we got a rain. Did you all get a rain? And it rained really hard there for a while. And make the grass grow some more. Turn things a little bit green. Make the flowers grow. And thank the Lord for the rains and the sunshine. And but I'm glad, I'm thankful that you're here tonight. And it's a privilege to be able to be in church, isn't it? And I think about folks, you know, we hear many times missionaries say about there's no churches in an area. And thank the Lord that there's a church that we can come to tonight. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'll read verse 1, join me on 2 and down through verse number 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. You notice in verse number 1, it says again, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. You know, it's very important for us. That's why it's so important for us to listen in the word of, to the Word of God. That's why we need to listen in church. We try to do everything we can to make it conducive to hearing the Word of God. We want boys and girls to sit up and listen. We have a nursery for the babies because the Word of God is being brought forth. And so we need to give an earnest heed to the things which we've heard, he said. But then we find the warning here, lest at any time we should let them slip. Boy, what a sad thing to let something like the Word of God slip from us. And tonight, the title of my message is Slipping Away. Slipping Away. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Now, Father, thank you again for this time tonight. I pray that you'd bless and help us as we look at a very sobering thought. And, Lord, we're just thankful we're able to be here. But, Lord, we know that if we're not careful, we can let these things that mean so much to us tonight slip away. So, Father, I pray that you would just speak to us and help us to be a people that would decide tonight we're just not going to let these things slip away. So, Father, bless. And, Lord, again, if there's somebody here not saved, I pray you save them. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. You may be seated. I read the story of two young men that were out fishing up above a dam and in their hometown. And they were so concentrated on their fishing. And they had their lines in the water. They were bringing in some fish. But they were unaware of something. And that was this, that their boat that they were in began to drift. Because when you're close to a dam like this, the water has got a pull on your boat. There is a situation where that the force of the water and the will drag the boat along and take it into dangerous way. And of course, with there being a dam there, that means the water was flowing towards the dam. But these fellows here, they were all involved in their fishing and didn't realize what the situation was until it was really too late because of the current being so strong. They not paying attention to it, they began to drift. And all of a sudden, they began to hear the waters on the other side of the dam that was spilling over into an area where there's lots of rocks. And as it spilled over, and there was quite a turbulence in the waters down there. And what happened when they realized they had gotten so close, it was too late to turn back. And then the boat was taken over the side of the dam, and those boys, those young men, they perished there. After several days, they finally found one body. What had happened was the waters went down with all the rocks. It caused them to stay pinned underneath the rocks. And they found after a couple of days, they found one body, and then after a couple more, they found the second one. And here's the thing about it. It never needed to happen. It shouldn't have happened. Because I've fished around. I've been down in Petersburg and fished by the dam down there and been down to Raystown before. There's always lots of signs around warning. And you just know. I mean, it's something I think most guys that have ever been out in a boat, you know that there are currents. But here's how we are. We know that, but sometimes we're not thinking about it. Because we get our minds on something else. These men here, their minds were on their catching fish. And they began to drift. And like I said, something that didn't have to happen. Now, this is something that doesn't necessarily mean that it's only a physical thing that happens. Many people have been drawn down because of a current in the water, but there's a spiritual aspect to this too. And as we read here in Hebrews, the apostle is talking about the things that we've heard, the things been preached to us there. He says, now these things that you've heard, you need to take heed to it. You know, I wonder sometimes when we come to church, we don't take heed to what's being said. We come there for the fellowship. Fellowship's good. We come there for the music. Music's good. And what an opportunity it is to be able to be in church. But the thing is, to heed what is said is so vitally important. And so, according to the Word of God, we find that this is not just a physical realm, but a spiritual realm where that we can let things slip or we can drift away. It's sad, but it's not uncommon for Christians to drift towards destruction. In my illustration, the story there, those young men drifted to destruction. And again, didn't need to happen. If they paid attention maybe to the signs, but they should have, even if there wasn't any signs, they should have paid attention to the current and watched. But how easy it is, and I know this is true, how easy it is to be so involved in fishing that you don't know what's happening. I was down at Canoe Creek one time, and I was busy catching fish. I mean, the trout were biting, and I was casting, and I had my back to the mountain behind me there, and I was just fishing away. And then all of a sudden, a crack of thunder, and I thought, what in the world? And I turned around, and the big black cloud behind me. And before I know it, and now out there, I think it's the same way. You can't have gas motors, only electric motors. And so I turned my electric motor on, and I went about a half a mile an hour. You know, it's like, nothing much happening. And then the wind's blowing, the rain was coming down, lightning and thunder. And I should have seen it coming, but the mountain kind of hit it, and my back was to it because I was doing something really important, catching fish. It was so bad that when I got to the shore and I finally got there, I couldn't pull my boat up on the shore because it was so full of water. Finally, it stopped raining, and I was able to bail it out, and I lived, by the way, and so I'm here today. But the thing is, you know, so many things can distract us. And we live in a world today where there's lots of things to distract us in this life. I've had it too, where I've been out down Raystown one time, and I was out in the boat, and I put my anchor down, and I was catching fish, but I didn't realize I was also drifting away. My anchor didn't catch there. A lot of rock down there, and I guess the hard bottom in the lake where I was at, and it was just dragging along. Got deeper, and my rope was over the side, and it wasn't caught on anything, and I was just drifting away. But I didn't notice it at first because I was distracted by something that wasn't wicked, but something was taking my focus. What did he say? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I began to think about slipping away and how does that happen. And I began to think about a few things, and one of them is this, that drifting really does not require any effort. You know, when I was drifting along on the lake there, I wasn't doing anything. It didn't take any effort. And here's the thing about it. We can say, well, preacher, you know, I'm really not getting involved in a lot of things. But the fact of the matter is, we can just mentally drift away. I don't want to ask this because I'm afraid what you might say, but have you ever sat in a sermon before and your mind drifted away? Please don't answer. But we all know that's true. It happens sometimes. You know, watching, sometimes a bug will get underneath one of these fans. And it's like they can't get out. They're just in there and just going around and around and around. And I get up and I look and I see it going around and around, and I see people sitting in the audience there too going. What happens? That stupid bug will get attention. And, there's sometimes things will get our attention. That's not it's not bad. But it takes our train of thought where we're not hearing the things that we need to hear. Drifting doesn't require any effort on our part. You could be sitting there doing nothing and drift away. You know, it's true. Have you ever read your Bible? You're sitting there reading your Bible and you're going through and you get to the end of the page and you start thinking, what in the world did I read? Your mind just drifts away. Now, you're doing the right thing. You're there with a Bible in your lap and you're trying to read those words, but you see how easy it is to drift. And what he's talking about here, we've got to make sure we take heed. We've got to be aware of what's going on in our life lest we drift. We need to give the earnest heed. So drifting doesn't require any effort, and also it's an unconscious process. It's possible to drift unaware. You know, sometimes there's what they call undercurrents. I haven't been to the ocean very much. I've been there a couple times, seen it. And it's pretty neat, but I've not really been out in it. You know how deep I've been in the ocean? To my ankles. When we were in Hawaii, my wife and I would get up early in the morning when everybody else was still sleeping from their hangovers, you know, and we would go out there and walk along the beach there in the water. You know, I'd roll my pant legs up and take my shoes off, and we would walk in the water up to our ankles. I have not been in the deep water, but I understand this, that there are undercurrents. There's what do they call it? Undertow? Is that it? An undertow? People don't notice it. And they'll put signs up, and sometimes people say, oh, I'm not going to listen to that sign. And then by not taking heed, they go out and they get pulled out to sea. You know, sometimes it'll happen when it's something that's unconscious. You're not thinking about it. And it happens so many times. We've heard of people that have been pulled away there at the ocean. But it's still true at the spiritual realm too, because many Christians have drifted away very slowly. You know, I look back over the 40 years and I think about folks that used to go to church. I understand I know our church isn't for everybody. But this is what I've seen in 40 years. I've seen people where they were in church sitting where you're sitting, and all of a sudden begin to drift, and now we're no longer in church anymore. Yeah, that's so sad. I mean, if they get mad and they leave, hopefully they'll get in another church. Hopefully they'll still serve the Lord. Amen. You know, you may get mad about something. Don't quit serving God if you get mad about something. But oftentimes, what I find out, they don't go to church anymore. And I think, how in the world did that happen? They drifted. They really didn't. I don't think they've said, you know, I think I'm going to drift away. They just began to drift away slowly. And I don't think most people jump into sin. I think most people drift into sin. I don't think folks go out and say, you know, they've been in church, go out and say, you know, I think I'm going to go get drunk. What happens? They drift into it. Maybe they go somewhere and they decide, we'll take a taste. Maybe they're with somebody and they just want to take a drink of it. Maybe they start thinking, first of all, well, you know, Jesus drank wine. And that's always the argument they have. And, well, Jesus drank wine, so what's the big deal? But you know what? Usually folks that start with that, they go on to other things too. And by the way, Jesus didn't drink alcoholic wine. You know, that's a bunch of foolishness. That's another message. But people don't jump into sin. They drift into sin, thinking they never will. Churches drift into error. Many think, well, you know, our church won't change, but a church can change. And here's the thing. If we're not taking heed, it'll happen. I think a lot of people sat in churches that changed. They didn't even notice it was happening. Satan is such a deceiver, isn't he? Because what happens? We're not taking heed, not paying attention. We ought to pay attention to the songs we sing. We ought to pay attention to the Bible that we're reading, to the words that we're reading. Pay attention to the message. So, preacher, I don't know, sometimes a little bit boring to me. It might be a little boring, but I'll tell you what. Even if it's a boring message, it's something that you need. Churches are far removed from the Word of God. How did they get there? They drifted. They let things slip. Plus, remember this, too. You never drift upstream or against the tide. You never go that direction. You know, faithfulness to the Lord is like rowing upstream. It's a continual rowing. And, you know, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:5, and besides this, giving all diligence. Now, here's the thing. Add to your faith. Virtue into virtue, knowledge, it goes on. God's saying this is what's supposed to happen here. You're to keep on rowing. In other words, what? Keep adding to your Christian life. Now, are you saved tonight?
Amen.
All right, amen. Glad that you're saved. Now, here's the thing. What you adding to your Christian life? You say, well, you know, preacher, I'm getting a little bit older. I'm not doing so much. No, the Bible says add. Doesn't ever say that word to subtract. We're to add. We may not add as fast, but we're still to add. We're not to stop, we're still to add. And I understand there are maybe some things we can't do, but we can add still things in the Word of God tells us there about adding to our faith. We need to continue to grow, because here's the thing. If we do not continue to grow, here's what will happen. We will drift. Watched it happen. Where folks all of a sudden, you know, isn't it wonderful to see a person get saved and start to grow? How wonderful that is. And I mean, what a blessing. I think about you folks here and watch you come to church and begin to grow in the Lord. And I'm like, oh man, this is so wonderful. Here's what scares me though. When we begin not growing, we're not adding to our faith. We just kind of become stagnant. You know what? You don't become stagnant. You start going with the flow instead of going against it in God's way. In the Christian life, we need to continue to grow. If not, we'll drift, and we'll let those things slip. You know, I think about folks that came to church, and I think about a man that came, and he said, boy, I don't know why people don't want to be here. I don't know why, you know, people don't like what you're preaching. And I mean, he was for everything. He says, man, it's just a breath of fresh air. Thank the Lord for it. But you know what? It wasn't long. He got tired of that old breath. Began to let things slip. Every so often I see him. I think, you know, it's really sad what ends up happening. All because they quit rowing. They quit adding to the Christian life. And then they get so far removed from the Word of God, they let it slip. The moment you stop growing is the moment you start going backwards. Amen. The moment you stop growing is the time when you start going backwards. Let me ask you something spiritually tonight. Are you growing in the Lord? You say, well, I think I've gotten all as far as I can ever go. I don't think so. I believe we're still, here's the thing. When you start getting satisfied, you're going to start going backwards. Don't let it slip. There's something else about this, though, too. The speed downstream increases. The speed downstream increases. I always think of the story of when I was in Alaska, Brother Taylor and Ryan, his son. We went fishing in the canoe, and we were out there on the lake, and I can't think, was it Trout Lake? I think is what it was called. And you wouldn't know it, but there was a current in that lake. You really couldn't tell. Because we'd go out there, and we had the canoe, and we were out, and we were casting in, and we were catching some trout. And we were having a good time. But the water would very slowly, we would just kind of float a little bit. But what it did, it took us, because we'd start fishing, all of a sudden the fish start not hitting, we'd go to another spot because we were drifting, and it seemed like a good thing, and then we kept going further. Now what had happened was, this lake emptied into a stream. And so we began to drift down through there, and as we got closer to the stream, the current was stronger. We were in the same lake, but the current got stronger, and you've heard me tell the story. We started going down through there, and I looked, and I said to him, I said, look at Brother Taylor, look at the trout down there, and you can look down this stream, and the trout were, I mean, you may not believe this, but they were jumping out of the water. What had happened, you could see a swarm of mosquitoes, and up in Alaska, there's lots of mosquitoes and gnats. And there was a swarm of mosquitoes there above the water, and we're watching as we're trying to catch more trout. And you could see down there, those trout were actually jumping out of the water, catching these bugs and splashing back in the water. I said, look at all those fish down there. And you know what we did? We went in there, and we began to row towards that, and we started going faster than we had done before rowing, because here's what happened. We got in the current. And so we rowed real hard. We got over to the side, and we kept casting. You know, we were catching all kinds of trout. Man, it was really great. And then we decided we're going to turn around and go back. To turn around and go back, we got caught in the current. And our little canoe, it flipped us around the other way, and now we were going backwards. I'll tell you what, it's scary in a little canoe in Alaska to go forward down the rapids. But we were headed backwards to the rapids, and then we began to row harder and harder, and I could still hear Brother Taylor screaming, faster, row harder. And I'm like, I'm rowing as hard as I can. And his son was too. We were rowing and rowing as best we could. And it seemed like, and we were going backwards, just barely. It was real slow, but it was pushing us so strong. We kept pulling and kept pulling. Finally, we started getting a little bit farther. And we got off to the side, got away from that current. And things were better. But here's the thing. We should have never got down there. I don't know what would have happened if we had gone down that stream. I mean, with those rapids, and again, we were in Alaska. You know, to fall in that water wouldn't have been a good thing. But you know what happens at the current? The closer you get to the rapids, the closer those men got to the dam, the faster the water was moving. You see, the destruction gets faster and faster as you begin to slip. Amen. As you begin to slip, have you ever gone down a hill in my house there on our lane? In the wintertime, you start down. All of a sudden, you're going down real slow. You put it in neutral, you know, to keep the wheels from pushing you. And we're going down there, and all of a sudden, it starts to slide a little bit. And you know what happens? Before you know it, you're sliding fast. And it's going down, and then your wife is screaming, and then you start screaming. And as we're going down, and it's like, ah! And I always know we're going to stop because that creek down at the end of the lane is going to catch us. But we're going down. But we start slipping just a little bit, and before you know it, we're coming down there, and we're going down sideways. I've gone down my lane before where we're going down and turn completely around. Ladies and gentlemen, when you begin to slip, it's not really, I can talk now about it being funny. I'm telling you right now, it wasn't funny when we were doing that. And when I talk to Brother Taylor about the canoe thing, we'll sit there and we'll laugh about that. He said, you remember that? We thought we were going to die. And we laughed about it. I'm telling you right now, it wasn't nobody laughing when we were rowing. It was scary. Let me tell you something. When you begin to drift from the things of God, it's a scary thing. It's not a laughing matter. It's a scary thing. You say, oh, preacher, I think I'll be all right. But you know, many people have gone down the rapids of life and never returned. Many have gone over the dam that they thought they would never. They would be all right. They'll be fine. They'll put that anchor down. But that anchor did not hold because they had the wrong kind of anchor. Those fishermen were in danger when they heard the rushing water at that dam. But it was already too late. You drift slowly at first and then picks up the speed and then you get swept away. And the farther and farther you drift from the Lord, the less and less you'll care about the things of the Lord. Drifting or letting things slip is dangerous, not only to yourself, but dangerous to others. You know, when we were three in that little canoe, it wasn't dangerous for just one of us. It was dangerous for all of us. You know, when a ship starts drifting, it's a danger to other ships. You remember what wasn't so awful long ago there at the Suez Canal? Remember all those ships got loose? Some ships got loose and blocked the Suez Canal and all kinds of troubles because of it? A ship that loses its anchor or just begins to drift is a danger to other ships. Let me tell you something. Your drifting is a danger to other people. Moms and dads need to pay attention to this one. Your slipping as a mom and a dad will affect your children. So, you know, it's only about me. I'm an adult. But think about this. The kids are not adults. And the fact of the matter is, many adults have gone over the dam with their kids following them. Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, I think we all understand you just don't throw your children to the sea. You don't throw your children to the sea. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible says, you know, in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, many are tossed to and fro. They just get blown around by the wind. What did he say? What did he say here in Hebrews? He said, take earnest heed about the things that you've heard. Why? Lest at any time you should let them slip. You know, about the time you think you're not going to let it happen, it happens. Man, I got everything under control. You know, sinners always say that, don't they? I mean, you're stopping to think, these people who rob banks, they know they're going to end up getting caught. These people, you know, I mean, how about the ones that break out of prison? They just know they're going to be all right. I mean, really, if they would think about it, they know they're going to get caught. And they always do. Oh, you might find one or two maybe here and there, but usually what happens, they find them. I just read a story not long ago about some guys, three guys I think it was, and they got out of prison and they thought, boy, they thought they had it made. But everybody was looking for them, and what happens? They got caught. You know, you think, well, I'll be all right, but you know what? You get caught by the things of this world. You get caught by the undertow of the world. You get caught by the flow of this old world, if you're not careful. How many young people have been drawn under because of the ideas of maybe somebody else, and they wouldn't stay anchored to the things of God? Amen. So how can we know if we're drifting? Well, you can know you're drifting when the Bible doesn't matter anymore. Thank the Lord for this Bible. It matters. It matters. Yeah, I know the world doesn't think that. Most Christians anymore, I wonder sometimes. I thank the Lord for you folks. I'm glad people want to come to church and hear the preaching of God's Word. I thank the Lord for the music and the fellowship, but I really believe with all my heart that there's a group of people here that wants to have the Word of God. They want to hear the preaching of God's Word. The Bible ought to matter. We've got to quit listening to the arguments of the world. I said we need to quit listening to the arguments of the world. You know, the world comes up and you say, oh, Dr. So-and-so says this. You know what? It don't matter who it is. Don't matter what book it is. It matters what this book is. This Bible's the truth. Thank the Lord for it. But also this, how can you know you're drifting? Know or little prayer. Know or little prayer. You know, we've got to have communication with the Lord. Amen. You know, I mean, it's not like we don't know how to communicate. You look at it today, check it out. You're running out of texts on your phone? You know, I've got, 6,000 texts available on my phone? Because I don't text much at all. You know, once in a while, I'll text my wife and say, I'm coming home. And that's about it. Or I'll text somebody if you're sick or if you're turkey hunting. I may text you, right, and see how's it going. You catch anything yet? Or you still missing? I'm sorry to bring that up. But, we know how to communicate, don't we? Why can't we communicate with the Lord? Amen. You know, I was trying to call my brothers today because we're going out to Indiana and I want to see my brothers. And I called both of them today and neither one of them answered. I don't know if this is by design. But, you know, I was really disappointed because they didn't answer. You know what? When I talked to the Lord this afternoon, he answered. Amen. We need to keep the communication in the right direction, not so much on our phones, but we need a communication with the Lord by prayer. I believe another sign is not only the Bible doesn't matter, no little prayer and very little prayer, but also a loss of desire to be with God's people. I'm glad to be with God's people tonight. You know, the Bible says, Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. You know, fellowship with God's people is a wonderful thing. That's why I say, fellows, I hope you all will come to the men's thing, our father and son. You know why? It's a good time of fellowship. Why do we have different activities? Why do we come to church? For fellowship, because fellowship's a good thing. I mean, think about it. When the loss of desire to be with God's people, you know, you got a problem when you enjoy the world more than the people of God. Amen. You know what? I mean, I think we have a good time when we come to church. Amen. Number four is a loss of desire to share the gospel. Remember when you got saved? Was that good? Were you happy about it? Yeah, you smile then. But, you know, we were all happy about the day you got saved. Think about this. You can help other people to have that same happiness. Can't you? You can tell others how to be saved too. You can tell others how that they can know the Lord is their Savior. I'll tell you this. If we're drifting, we'll no longer take the gospel to others because we're drifting. The fifth thing is this, loving the world's pleasures. Loving the world's pleasures. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know, I understand. I know why churches are not filled on Sunday. Men are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I sure appreciate you all so much. You know, one of the great things about you folks here tonight, you're not in the most famous church in all the world. You're not in the biggest church in the world. And by the way, you're not in the smallest either. But you know what? You're in a church where I believe there's a bunch of folks who find pleasure in the things of God. Amen. You know, everybody comes in to preach, they always make mention, your people are easy to preach to. And the reason is because they never hear any good preaching when I'm here. They have to wait till someone else comes and they get excited about that. But you know what a blessing it is of people that find pleasure in the Word of God. I tell you what, when it begins to go away, mark this down, you're drifting. You might not be all right. The boys thought they were all right too until they went over the side of the dam and died. Okay, what can we do to keep from drifting? Let me give you a couple things real quick. First of all, keep rowing. Keep rowing. Spiritually speaking, it involves a diligence. It's just something you got to do. Like I said, when we were in Alaska there, and Brother Taylor was saying, row, row. I didn't say, I would like to object. No, I wanted to live. And I was rowing as hard as I could. My arms began to hurt. But we rowed and we rowed and we rowed. And because if not, we were going down through the rapids. I don't know what would have happened. But you know what? We've got to keep rowing. It takes diligence. 2 Peter 1:10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. You know how you keep from falling apart? How you can keep from falling and drifting away? Keep the Word of God with all diligence. Do it on purpose. And it'll take work. You know, some things are going to take work, aren't they? You know, if you get a job, you go to work. It takes work. But here's what happens. At the end of the week, you get a what? Paycheck. Isn't that a good thing? But you got to work. And you know what? It's a good thing to work because God rewards work too. And here's the thing it'll do. It'll help us from drifting. It'll help us from drifting. You know, when you start wanting to be just someone who just wants to sit there and do nothing, you're going to drift. Keep rowing and guard against the undercurrent. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, being steadfast, unmovable. That means make sure you got the right anchor. My anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My anchor holds, the song says. I thank the Lord that he can. That's why we don't have to fall for peer pressure if you're anchored right. You don't have to fall for the popularity contest or the praise of others or modernism or humanism or false doctrines or liberalism or worldliness or apathy or neglect or indifference. There's no reason to fall for those things if you'll guard against the undercurrent. I've never had a problem with the undercurrent at the ocean because I stay away from it. I've learned to stay away from the rapids. I've learned to stay away from the current because it doesn't look very strong till all of a sudden it begins to suck you in. And how many folks right now that sat in services like this are sitting at home right now? The undercurrent. They began to drift. So think about it tonight. Are you drifting? Are you doing what verse 1 says? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time. You know, I thought it's interesting there where he says this. And lest at any time, when you least expect it, when you think you got everything in control, lest at any time you should let them slip. There's some things important to hang on to, isn't there? There's some things important to hang on to. We must make sure we don't let it slip, the things we've heard from the Word of God. I believe tonight, if we would stop for a moment and think about our own lives, we will know the answer to that question, are you drifting? Are you drifting? So, preacher, I'm still in church. Thank the Lord. Those men were on the right side of the dam for a while. But they were slowly drifting. Don't wait until it's too late. I've seen people, all of a sudden, their life's a mess, and they're crying, and, oh, what are we going to do? You know, it'd been smart if you listened at the beginning. If you just paid attention. It's when we don't pay attention to our Christian lives that we end up drifting away. It may not seem dangerous now, but the truth of the matter is there's danger ahead when you drift. When you let things slip, there's danger ahead. So the things that you've heard, the Sunday school lessons, your Bible study, the sermons, you're reading the Word of God. Don't let them slip. Keep a good grasp and keep on rowing. You say, preacher, it'll be some work. It will be some work, but it'll be well worth it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time here tonight. Lord, I pray that what I said made sense. Lord, help us understand tonight. Maybe tonight we're just at that place now where these things just kind of went right over our head or in one ear and out the other and just didn't mean much to us because we think we're all right in all the way. That old anchor's over the side, but it's off the bottom and it's just bouncing along and we're drifting. A year from now, I wonder if these folks, we all would be still here. Lord, I'm not talking about if death would come, because it could come at any moment. But Lord, I wonder spiritually, would we still be here? Or will we be a has-been? Lord, I pray, help us tonight. We've all seen it happen. But help us to look at our own lives and see if we're drifting. And get anchored tonight. Start rowing away from the danger. And get our life straightened out with you. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed tonight. Maybe you're here, you're not sure of salvation. You come in a moment. We'll give the opportunity, the invitation. You come and trust the Lord as your Savior. But Christian, tonight, the message really for each and every one of us as a Christian. Are you drifting? You know. Now you can make an excuse for it too, but you know. Tonight, let's not drift anymore. Let's start rowing again. Let's get back where we ought to be, and let's just keep serving God. It's going to take some work, but it's going to be well worth it. Don't drift. Because when you least expect it, all of a sudden you're going to hear the roaring of the waters that's pouring over the dam, and then you're going to say, oh my, we've got to do something, and it'll be too late. Could you imagine the horror of those young men as they were swept over the side and fell beneath those rocks and tried to breathe air, but there was no air to breathe? How horrible it must have been. And how horrible it is when you backslide on God. Don't drift away. Father, I pray you bless now this invitation. I pray that your will would be done tonight in our hearts, in our lives. Use this message for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.